Good morning, everyone. For if some of the parents want to take their children to the mother's room, you're welcome. There are some toys and stuff for them there. If you want to take them there, they're also welcome to stay a little bit if they want to. I specifically want to speak to the parents, but I'm going to try and keep it nice and short. And I trust that the Lord will bless you. I just want, Christina, if you can just bring up that slide. I want to speak this morning about developing a biblical family culture. But what a biblical family culture comes down to is basically discipleship. That's what we want to do with our children. We want to make disciples of them. The very first people in this whole world of all the nations that we go to that we want to make disciples of are our own children, aren't they? My vroukie praat baie keer van die klein disciples in die huis. En hoe alles wat ons doen, disciples moet maak van ons kinders. So, ek wil julle net uitnooi, Dr. Cornei Becker gaan hier so wees die 12de tot die 17de Julie. En daar's beperkte spasie, so as julle wil gaan, moet julle gou-gou spring. Maar ons gaan dit ook record, en as julle dan die recordings wil hê, is julle welkom om by ons te bestel. En bykie meer leer oor discipleskap. So I just want you to think for a while, what influence did your family have on your life? Growing up as a little child, growing up as part of a family, what influence did your family have on your life? How many of your habits, how many of your mannerisms, how many of your values, how many of your hurts were picked up as part of your family? Think about it for a while. Think what an amazing, huge effect our families have on us. It's the place where we are formed, where we are molded and made into who we become for the rest of our lives. And if our families have such a big influence on us, shouldn't we think what influence we wanted to have on our children? You see, The thing is, many of the things that happen to us in our families, many of our most formative experiences happen almost by accident, sort of without thinking, happen to us in an unplanned way. And in fact, culture is what we as families or what a group of people do without thinking. That's one way of thinking about culture. So our family culture is what we do and how we act and how we interact without thinking about it. So what I want to say is, what are the things that we do without thinking? And shouldn't we think about the things that we do without thinking? Shouldn't we think about how our family culture, what our family culture is like? Shouldn't we work at developing a healthy and a biblical family culture? And God actually speaks to this in Deuteronomy 6. I'm just going to read it to you. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today will be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as signs to your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And on the first slide, it refers to what Jews call the Shema, the most important statement of faith, and it talks about these words that God commands us, that God is one, that there's one God, and that we must love this one God above all else. And then on the second slide, it talks about how this that God commands us is transferred to the next generation, how we teach it to our children. And God mentions 8 things. 4 places where we must talk about these things. Did you notice that? 4 places where we must talk about these things with our children. When we sit down, when we walk by the way, when we lie down and when we rise up. Four places we should speak about these things. And then four places where these things must be written. Between our eyes, our hands, our doors, and our gates. Now, let's just go to the first one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Like I said, that's the Shema. If you wake up an Orthodox Jew in the middle of the night and say, what do you believe? They'll say, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And the amazing thing about this statement of faith is that it mentions Elohim, which is the word for God. There you have another Hebrew word. Elohim is the word for God. But it's a plural word. Have you ever seen that, for instance, in the Bible, angels are called seraphs or cherubs. And the plural is seraphim and cherubim. So if you make something plural in Hebrew, you put a im at the end. And Elohim has a im at the end because it's a plural word. So it's God, El is God, but Elohim is God in plural. But then it says this God in plural, which if you had to translate it directly would be gods, this God is one. And if you go and read in Genesis 1 verse 26, God says, let us make man in our image. God refers to himself in the plural. And yet it says this plural God is one. He's one God. He's not many gods. He's one God. But he refers to himself in the plural, us. Why? We as Christians know, of course, that God is three in one. In other words, God is a divine family. Our idea, our very concept of family comes from who God is. And our God, the God of the Bible, is the only God who is a family. Who is one God, but three persons within that one God and a divine family. And at the heart of us as families is this idea of God as the family. And we should model who we are as families on who God is and who He reveals Himself to be. So the first thing that we learn from this scripture is that the divine family is the model for us as human families, and we should model ourselves after God. And then it says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. You've probably heard the saying, the best thing that you can do for your children is to love their mother. Well, I want to take that a bit further and say that the best thing that you can do for your children is to love their God. The most important thing that we have to teach our children is to love God, isn't it? I mean, think about it. No matter what else we teach our children, if we don't teach them to love God, then ultimately the other things we teach them don't matter. But if we teach them to love God, then everything else falls in place and finds its rightful place. And we cannot teach our children to love God if we do not love God. And that's why I just want to hold up to you that we must love the Lord our God with all our hearts, all our souls, all our might. Head, heart, hands, whole life, loving God so that our children can see it. Because, as we all know, children are monkey see, monkey do. They don't just do what we say, they do what we do. I find that a bit scary sometimes when I see my children doing things and I can see, and I realize they get it from me. So children have an amazing capacity to imitate. And they must be able to imitate our love for God. Our relationship with God is the source of all our other relationships. And if our relationship with God is right, all the other relationships will fall in place eventually. It's speaking here of commands of God. God commanding us in His Word to do certain things. But if we don't do those things out of a heart of love for God, with that motive, what other motive can we have? I think there's too much of Christianity that is just behavior modification, trying to change people's behavior without changing their hearts. And we shouldn't do that with our children. Ultimately, our children's hearts must be changed. Their hearts must love God, and therefore they must do the right thing. Because if our hearts love God, we will automatically do the right thing. We won't have to try. So we need to win our hearts. So what I'm trying to say here, and what God I think is trying to say, is that our motives get imparted to our children. And if our ultimate motive is to love God, and the reason why we do things is ultimately because we love God, then our children will pick up on that. And they will also start doing things ultimately because they love God, because they love Jesus. And I think that's the only legitimate motive. I think that's the only motive that actually works in the Christian life. Then it says, "And these words I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children." Notice that before we teach them to our children, they must be in our hearts. We cannot give what we don't have. I can tell you that I have measles, but if I have chicken pox, all of you are going to get chicken pox. Right? I can only give what I have. I can only impart what I have. And that's why the word says, the beginning of a good family culture, and the beginning of being a healthy parent and a biblical parent, is to make sure that everything we want to teach is in our hearts. Because only if it's in our hearts will it touch their hearts. Only if it comes out of our hearts will it affect their hearts. So we must show and not just tell. The power of the Christian life, the godly life, lies with in not what we say as much in how as in how we live. We model it. I remember listening to a talk by Chip Ingram, and he said that most of what you learn as a child is caught, not taught. Most of it is imparted. So then he challenged us as parents, and he said, look at your life. What is currently in your life that you don't want to see in your children's life? That convicted me a lot. What is in my life that I don't want to see duplicated in my children? Because if I don't want to see it duplicated in my children, then I have to deal with it in my heart. Because otherwise it will be duplicated. And it really convicts me, and it challenges me, because I know I'm not perfect. So I have to trust God for His grace to grow and to change and to have what is commanded in my heart. And I need to be quick to repent when it's not in my heart and when it's not in my life. The other day, 2 or 3 days ago, I can't remember, my wife and I had a big argument in front of our little girl, Kirsten. Here she is in front. And I remember at some stage during the argument, during this fight, I remember looking at Kirsten. I mean, you sort of get so caught up in this argument, in this fight, that you forget that the children are there. And Kirsten was sitting there as though she was watching tennis at Roland Garros or at Wimbledon. She was looking like this when Rochelle said something and when I said something, and her head was going like this, you know, between us. And when I saw her, I stopped and I realized, Annie, what are you doing? And of course, we had to repent to her, and we sat down and we said, Kirsten, we were nasty to each other, and we had a fight, and we were wrong, and we're sorry. Please, will you please forgive us? And, you know, children are so amazing. They're so forgiving. When we asked for forgiveness, she forgave us. But, you know, if God's word is in our heart, it doesn't mean we won't sin. It doesn't mean we can't sin. It just means we cannot sin in peace. We will feel convicted when we sin, and then we need to repent. God doesn't expect perfect parents, just humble parents. And you shall talk of them when you sit down, sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. Four places where you should talk about the things of God, the Word of God. The very first place to start with developing a biblical culture is making sure the Word of God is in your heart. But then the second step is making sure you actually talk about it. Making sure that what is in God's Word, what God commands us, that it actually is on our mouths, that it's actually on our lips. Here's the problem. We're so busy, we don't get time to spend together as modern families anymore. But there are still places where we can and should spend time together. And some of the most important ones get mentioned here. When you sit down around the table. Now many families nowadays sit down in front of the TV. Now, what happens when you're sitting down in front of the TV? Everyone faces the TV. So everyone's facing away from everyone else, and you're facing towards the TV. But where does God want us to sit down? Around the table. And when we sit down around the table, we're facing each other. and we can talk to each other about the Word of God and about the things of God. So, the table, okay? Then it says, when you lie down and when you rise up, all of us sleep. Well, some of our children don't sleep that much, but all of us should sleep. And that means that we go to bed and we get up. And those are great opportunities when we lie down and when we rise up to actually talk about the things of God, to pray about it. And then we all travel. And usually when we travel, we travel together. So I want you to think of three places, of table, of bed, and of travel, maybe your motor cars. And those are together times. And those should be together times around the Word of God. The together times that we have, we should use to talk about the Word of God and what God commands us. And it doesn't have to. You have to lesie voor te bring hiervoor nie. It doesn't have to be rehearsed. Children are curious. They'll ask questions. If we just talk to them about it, they'll ask questions, and those questions will lead into opportunities to teach them and to instruct them. So we should just talk about it. We should create together time around table, bed, and travel where we can talk about the things of God. I remember riding around here in Somerset West with our children, and I can't remember how we got onto the topic, but we got onto the topic, I think maybe it was a song or something on the radio about Mary and Martha, and how Martha was in the kitchen working and Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. And I tried to speak to Kirsten about it and said to her, we must also sit at Jesus' feet and learn from Jesus and so on. And I was trying to teach her a bit about that. And she said to me, but Daddy, feet are so disgusting. And I thought to myself, that's not the take-home message I wanted you to get, but it was a good talk. Okay, and then it says, and you shall bind them as signs to your hand, and shall be as frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorpost and of your house and on your gates. Four places we must write them. Now, the Pharisees took this very literally, and they made phylacteries, little boxes that they tied to their heads with scripture in it. Now, that's not what Jesus had in mind. That's not what God had in mind. He doesn't want the Word of God to be tied to the outside of your head. It's just metaphorical for the Word of God being in your head. In other words, thinking about it. We must think with our children about the Word of God. And then it must be tied to our hands. Metaphorical of it must be in our actions, in what we do. Out of our thinking about the Word of God must come our doing the Word of God. Then it must be written on our doors. In other words, the entrance to our houses. So the outside of our houses. And here comes the doors and the gates is the outward focus. A healthy biblical family culture is not only an inward culture, but also an outward culture. It's not only internal to our hearts and to our lives, but it's also outward focused to the world. So it must be written on our doors. People, when they look at our family, when they look at our house, they must be able to see the testimony of a godly family. And then it must be written on the gates of our cities. We must write it on the gates of our cities. We as Christians should salt and permeate our societies that we live in. As Christian families, we must have an effect on the societies we live in, so that the Word of God through us must be written on the gates of our cities. A healthy family culture has an outward focus as well. So, much of what happens in family life happens as part of routine, habits, culture, and things that we are not consciously aware of and that we don't consciously think of. And therefore, we must work into habit things that'll constantly convey the Word of God and the truth of God's Word to our children. Must habitually, routinely talk about it. Make sure that it eventually becomes written on their heads and on their hands, on our doorposts and on our gates, the gates of our cities. Developing a family culture so that we, without having to think about it, do those things which turn our children's hearts towards God. Amen? Okay, I just want you to close your eyes there where you're standing or sitting. And I want you to just pray and ask the Holy Spirit where He wants you to make a change in your culture as a family. And if you're a single person, you should still be living as part of a family. So just think about, where does God want you to make changes to your family culture? Where do you see opportunities where you can build the Word of God into your family culture? Where you can speak about it, where you can write it. And then just ask the Holy Spirit to help you to do that. If you're a parent of young children, you'll have many opportunities. If you're a parent of older children, you'll have to create more opportunities. Yes, Lord God, we just come to you this morning in Jesus' name, Lord, and we just want to thank you, Lord God, that you care about families. Thank you that you are a family God. And thank you that family is precious to you. And we pray, Lord, that by your grace you'll help us to establish godly family cultures. Oh Lord, our greatest desire is not to see our children happy, but to see them godly, to see them righteous. Because we know that happiness is just a result of righteousness. Happiness ultimately is just a result of right relationship with you. And we pray, Lord God, that you'll give us the wisdom as parents, as culture creators in our homes, to create cultures that facilitate relationship with you, that facilitate obedience to you. Please give us the grace to do this, Lord. You know how busy we often are, and you know how often we do things without thinking about them, Lord. But, Lord, I just want to pray, Lord, a blessing on all parents here this morning, that you'll give us the grace to be able to think about your word, to be able to have your word written in our hearts so that it just overflows from our lives into the lives of our children. Lord, I just want to pray a blessing over every single family here this morning in Jesus' name. And I bless families, Lord God, with the word of God. May the word of Christ dwell richly, not only in our hearts, but in our families, in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord God, Lord, I just come against any, Lord, condemnation, any guilt, Lord God. And I pray that we'll rather, Lord, rather than see the places where we fail, I pray that we'll see the opportunities where we can bless our children more. Lord, and we just pray, Lord God, that we as a church will be a family of families who reflect you, your nature, and your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. The Lord bless you.